The title of my sermon this morning is Jesus, the True Vine. Look over in John 15. You know, going out into the world for the first time on your own can be a very exciting time. It can also be a time when you feel very scared to stand on your own. There was a young man who was graduating high school. And, you know, his parents were very proud of him. And his dad asked him, "What would you like as a graduation present?" And his son thought for a second and said, "You know, Dad, I'd like a really nice radio." So, just like Noah's face, he's like, "A radio? Why would you want a radio?" So the dad was perplexed. And he says, "Son, is all you want a radio?" He says, "Yeah, Dad, the only thing I want is a radio wrapped up in a very nice red sports car." "I know, I gotta keep my day job, but you know, I don't know if anyone here is going to get a nice red sports car, but I know they're going out on their own. And during times when we're out on our own, we can feel alone and by ourselves and forget that we have God who is always with us. And this morning what we're going to look at in John 15 is about Jesus being the true vine. Let's start our text. In John 15, starting at verse 1, the Bible says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. And such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my love may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I have chosen you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other." You know, this is a great passage, and I want us to focus this morning on three statements that Jesus made. The first statement he made is, "I am the true vine." In verse 1, Jesus said, "I am the true vine." You know, when you think about what a vine is where the branches receive what? They receive their food, their water, their nutrients, their life-giving force. You know, imagine if a branch did not receive that. What would happen? You know, I'd like two volunteers really quickly. And they're really not volunteers. My daughter, Brianna, and Mark, if you guys can come up here. They know nothing about this, so this is a surprise to them. So if we totally blow this, it's my fault. But guys, this is what I want you to do, okay? Brianna, you are the vine. So you represent Jesus. How would Jesus stand? Might like that, right? But remember, you're a mighty, so you stand tall, stand firm, right? Mark, you are the branch. You are not mighty like the vine. You receive your nutrients from the vine. What do you have to do to get your nutrients from the vine? There you go. You have to touch the vine, right? So grab onto the vine. Why don't you guys hold hands? It's okay. Don't be alarmed, he's your brother. Okay, stop. I tell you this is not rehearsed. Okay, so you are the vine. You do nothing but give out nutrients. You must remain in the vine. What would happen if somebody yanked you from the vine? What would happen to you? You wouldn't what?
Get any nutrients.
You wouldn't what?
I won't get any nutrients.
You wouldn't get any nutrients. What would happen if you stopped eating? So let's see how that one might look. Exactly. Good job. All right, you have your 5 seconds of fame. All right, go with it. I can always count on my son and my daughter. But that's just a little visual so you understand what it looks like. If we do not remain connected to Jesus, spiritually, we will do what my son did. Drop dead. I don't think that's what anyone here wants to do. If you're here this morning, that suggests that you realize that you want to be in the vine. You know, Jesus also said, I am the true vine. To me, that indicates there are some false vines out there. There are vines out there that sometimes we go to receive nutrients from that are not good for us. Think about that. A lot of these guys that are graduating and that are going into the colleges, there are a lot of vines out there that will love them to attach themselves to them. There's fraternities. There's bad crowds. There's flashes of philosophy. All these higher educated thinking. Jesus is a simple concept. We need to stay in the vine. It's not that complicated, guys. But we must remain in the vine. In verse 7, Jesus teaches that if we remain in the vine, when we ask God for anything, He will give it to us. So if you ask for a radio wrapped up in a nice red sports car, is God going to answer that prayer? He might. He probably won't, though. What he's talking about there is about doing His will. If we ask for anything in His name, so if we're reaching out to people, we're begging for people's hearts to change, I believe God will answer that prayer. If we have children that don't know the Lord, and we're begging for God, God will do His part. Now those people also must do their part. So when that doesn't happen, you can't shake your fist at God. And if you do, come talk to me, let me know how that works out for you. Because it never works out well. But you need to stay in the vine and you get to ask Daddy, Daddy, I want this. It's not about the radio, it's not about the car, it's about people's souls. I pray that we're going to God begging for people. And that we're seeking God's input in everything we do. In verse 8 it says, it's to God's glory. Not to our own glory. You know, when we're lucky enough to meet somebody and help them in the faith, we don't get a toast or oven for that thing. We don't get an extra place in heaven for that. God is not going to give us an extra piece of chicken at the table. What God's going to do is welcome into your master's happiness. Good and faithful servant. The only thing we're doing is what we're supposed to do. We do this thing, why? Because we love people. The second thing that Jesus said was, remain in me. You know, it's very important, guys, that we remain in Jesus. That once saved, always saved doctrine that's out there, that's false. We need to remain in our salvation. You know, throughout the passage, Jesus says, remain in me. He emphasizes that point. What does that suggest? It suggests that a lot of times people walk away from Jesus. You know, they start the race and they're excited. You know, they're all dripping in water and they're, woo, let's do it. And then as they dry off, they start to look back and start reflecting on the past and start having ideas of grandeur about how their past was. And if y'all remember, before Jesus, life wasn't all that good. Remember the times coming in at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning? Remember the times waking up and coming home and watching the sunrise as your drunk self was coming home? Remember the times waking up with people that you wouldn't want to be with? Remember the times lying and having to keep track of the lies? Were those the fun times? Those were the good times, right? I don't think so. You know, with Jesus, we get to look in the mirror and like who we see back. He gives us amazing life, but He says we must remain. You know, Jesus said we need to remain because if we don't, we'll forget about all the fruits that He has borne in our lives. Look over in Galatians 5 real quick. Guys, we cannot remember the fruit that Jesus allowed to be born into our lives. Remember, we are not the vine, we are the branches. Branches are designed to bear fruit. And check out some of these things that we are supposed to bear. In Galatians 5:22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." Are these the fruit that you are bearing in your life? I commit to you this morning that if you are not bearing this fruit, that you are not clinging to the vine. This fruit in verse 5, he says that the fruit will be abundant. Abundant to God suggests, I'm sorry, you will bear much fruit, and that suggests abundance. Have you ever gone to the table on Thanksgiving and found a chicken leg there and been content with that? I don't think so. You want abundance. You want a lot of food. You want to be able to go up as many times as you want. Anything with God, when He gives us anything, He gives it to us abundantly. He doesn't give us salvation just a little bit here, just have a little taste. He says, come and feast, and I am going to give you peace. I'm going to give you patience. Amen? I don't know if anyone else can relate to that one. I need patience, and I need a heaping bowl of it. How about love? It's easy not to love people, guys. Come on, stop crying. You know it's hard. When somebody keeps on coming to you, they keep on doing the same thing over and over again. Just keep on poking that button. And just keep on poking at you. You're just like, you know, I'm tired of loving you. What does the Bible say? God says, if you remain in me, I will give you that fruit. And you'll be able to take the poking. You'll even be able to take a little good attitude. Why? Because He says He'll give you patience. Goodness. You'll want goodness in your life. Instead of looking at things you're not supposed to be looking at. Things that come out of your mouth will be good. You will not be critical towards people. You won't want to hurt anybody. And before you do, or even if you do, you want to quickly repent. And you want to change that. Why? Does that nutrient come from us alone? Oh boy, you better recognize that does not come from us alone. Baptism was a portal in. It was receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. But it is that Holy Spirit that transforms our lives so that these gifts of the Spirit may be produced in us. The third thing Jesus said, and I love this, He said, I choose you. He said, I chose you. That means that we're valued. You ever play a sports as a kid? And you got everybody spread out. You got the two team captains, and you're like, oh boy, I hope he picks me. I hope he doesn't pick me, but I hope he picks me. How do you feel when you get picked last? It don't feel very good, does it? You know, Jesus chose us first. Doesn't it feel real good when you're in the crowd and He says, I choose you. You're gonna be the star of my team. You know what, guys? That's everybody in this room that's a disciple of Jesus. Jesus decided to choose us before He chose Himself. That's deep. That's real deep. How does it feel when, you know what, you know you're not the strongest player on the field, but you're chosen? You know, I'm not even worthy to be playing with these guys. But you know what? I will give my best. Because you're chosen, do you give your best? You know, it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go. Have you went? Have you been obedient to the call? The call isn't to be given the fruit and stay. It's to go. Have you gone? Or have you gone and returned without fruit? Guys, being a disciple is a serious business. It's the most important job on the planet. Because guess what? A physician can heal the body, but a disciple can heal the soul. But we don't do it on our own. Like, don't record this and get it twisted. We do this through God. If God is not a part of you, you cannot do this. He says, outside of me, if you're not connected to me, You can do nothing. God will not even hear you. You know, as a man today, I was studying out prayer. And as I was studying out prayer, it was a really cool thing that I noticed. I was talking to Team Boys about it on Thursday. How Jesus always called God by Father. He always referred to him as Father or Abba, who can be looked at as Daddy. What does that suggest? It suggests intimacy. There's one time when Jesus did not call God Father, and he called him God. You know when that was? When he was on the cross, and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Do you know why he said that? Because sin separates us from God, and when we are in a sin relationship with God, we feel he's God. He's this God that's distant. He's this God that's far. He's not my daddy. He's not my intimate father who wants the best for me. Is God today just your God who you respect and fear? Or is he both God and daddy? The father that you just cherish. Because God never left us. He is always with us. You know, in verse 12, Jesus commanded his disciples to love each other as he loved them. Do you know, do you recognize that you were chosen out of love? It was not because you're the biggest, baddest on the block. It's not because you're so cute. It's not because you wear a nice suit on Sunday and you come to church every Thursday on time. It's not because you give your contribution faithfully. It's because you are a son or a daughter of Jesus. You are chosen in love. That's amazing to me. You know, he says we were both chosen and appointed. What happens when somebody's appointed? They're sent out with a mission. I appoint you with this charge. Go and do this and that and whatever. We have all in this room have been appointed by Jesus himself to go reach this lost world. You know, there are people in this room right now that do not have a relationship with Jesus. I call you guys to speak to someone who brought you. If no one brought you, speak to somebody who's a disciple. We all need to be connected in the body. You know what? It doesn't take very long for us to get disconnected and to wither up and die. There are some of us in this room right now who are not totally connected with Jesus. Where we're just, you know, every once in a while we plug in just to get a little bit, like our cell phones or such. We plug in our electronics, but we don't leave them connected, right? Well, what happens to those? Eventually they do die. We need to remain. This is the only relationship, this is the only religion in the world that allows you to remain connected. What a privilege. What an honor. Is your relationship with God this morning a privilege and an honor? I pray it's not duty. I pray it's not a burden. Jesus went to the cross, and though it was probably not the thing he would like to do, he chose to do it. Because he was also chosen and appointed, and he was faithful to that call. You know, as we close this morning, I want you to remember that Jesus is the true vine. We must remain in him. And lastly, we were chosen and appointed. If we remember these three things, we will do well in life. And always remember that we do not walk alone if we remain in the true vine, which is Jesus.
You know, real quick, something I just want to mention. Remember next week? What's next Sunday? I can hear you? Exactly. Mission Sunday. I hope you guys are excited to be giving to our missions. You know, remember who we're giving this money to. This is to God. And I pray you guys come prepared with checks in tow, with attitudes in tow, ready to give God the glory. And God, it's going to be a celebration no matter what we collect next week, as long as it's an offering from our hearts. Amen? So I pray next week you come ready to do this, and to God be the glory. Amen.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, we have prayed to you this morning We have studied out your lessons, and we sang songs to you, Father. We devoted this worship to you this morning. We hope that you enjoyed it. We hope that you are sending smiles to us and your kisses to us, Father. Father, we have a challenging week this week, Father, for our kids. We are going to be doing our finals this week. We ask them to stay focused on their work so they can go to the next level, Father. We also pray for our veterans this week. Let us reach out to some of the veterans in our community so we can bring them out, Father, to worship with you. We ask you to bless us and keep us. Take us home safe this week, Father, and bring us back here so we can worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.